2, proof of mildness with no unpleasant aftertaste.
Chesterfield, always takes first place. That milder, mild tobacco never leaves an aftertaste.
So open a pack, give them a smell.
Then you'll smoke them.
Chesterfield presents the Bob Hope Show, transcribed direct from Yurok Air Force Base, California, with Les Brown and his band of renown. For Chesterfield, yours truly, Hi Averback. Our special guests, Connie Haynes and Ava Gardner. And here he is, the jet comic, a perfect blowhard, Bob Hope.
Thank you. Well, here we are at Edwards Air Force Base at Muroc, the paradise of the West. Where never is heard a discouraging word and everybody has applied for a transfer. This place is really in the desert. I was introduced to a colonel today, and instead of eagles, he was wearing a gopher on each shoulder. Yes, sir, this is really in the desert. You know, when a platoon of infantrymen go on a 15-mile hike, it usually means they're going on a maneuver. When they march that far here, it just means they're going to the washroom. This is a very interesting base geographically. The sandstorms here are really something. In fact, at the Pentagon in Washington, there's a map representing all the Air Force bases. Muroc isn't a pin, it's a question mark. Last week, a pilot was trying to come in during a sandstorm. He asked the tower where to land, and the tower said, "Call you back as soon as we make our own landing." Thank you, drifters. Up here. This is an experimental base for the Air Force, and they're very strict about identification here. When I arrived, I told them I was Bob Hope, and I tell jokes. They didn't believe me. Now I need a letter from somebody proving it. Don't just sit there. Start writing. There's so much secrecy here, some of the airmen don't know what they're doing. I talked to a pilot that thinks he's driving a Greyhound bus to Salt Lake City. Really? Everything's top secret here. This is the only place in the world where the jackrabbits have to take a loyalty oath. Some weird planes here at Muroc. Some of the aircraft are so advanced they may have to invent a man to fly them. But they're doing a great job. Last week they flew a plane almost 800 miles an hour. Next week they're going to try it with a motor. Imagine traveling faster than the speed of sound. That means I can put a Crosby record on my phonograph and be out of town before he starts singing. I don't care what anybody says. I was the first man to crash through the sound wall. It happened when I was 3 months old. My nurse was changing my diaper and I happened to touch a light socket. But I'm serious. They fly everything here at Muroc, and I mean everything. Yesterday, a pilot climbed into a cockpit and got up to 4,000 feet before he realized he was flying a Coke machine. He ran out of nickels and had to make a fourth landing.
Proof of mildness with no unpleasant aftertaste. That's what Chesterfield has for you.
And here's the authority that proves Chesterfields are milder.
Over 1,000 prominent tobacco growers have signed this statement. To judge tobacco for its mild smoking qualities, I smell it. If it smells milder, I know it'll smoke milder. If that tobacco is made into cigarettes, those cigarettes will smell milder and smoke milder. That's why I smoke Chesterfield.
Yeah, there's the proof of mildness. Now the proof that Chesterfields leave no unpleasant aftertaste. The authority?
It's the country's first and only cigarette taste panel, who reported Chesterfield is the only cigarette in which members of the panel found no unpleasant aftertaste.
Can't beat that for straight facts. That's what Chesterfields give you. Mildness plus no unpleasant aftertaste. So you can see, Chesterfields give you more for your money. Next time, buy a Chesterfield. And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's an exceptional recording artist whose dynamic song styling keeps her in the top flight among the nation's jukebox favorites, singing one of the numbers she's presenting at the famous Coconut Grove now in Los Angeles. Here she is, Miss Connie Hayes.
When you see a guy reach for stars in the sky, you can bet that he's doing it for some dough. When you spot a gun waiting out in the rain, just as he's insane as only a John can be for a dame. When you meet a gent paying all kind of rent for a flat that could flatten the Taj Mahal, call it sad, call it funny, but it's better than even money that the guy's only doing it for some dough. Guys and dolls, dolls and guys, they just make believe they're wise. They're the biggest rubes of all when they fall. When you see a dame change the shape of a frame, you can bet she's reducing it for some guy. When you find a doll with a diamond in a heart, rest assured that the rock has gone to restock some gentleman jock. When you see a mouse hurry out of the house, and she runs 20 blocks for cigars and rye, call it dumb, call it clever, but you can give odds forever that the doll's only doing it, though someday she'll be ruining it. That doll's only doing it for some guy.
Ladies and gentlemen, early this morning, Bob went out to the Burbank Airport in Los Angeles to meet the man who was going to fly him up here to Muroc, the famous jet pilot, Captain Chuck Yeager. I wanted to see how Bob would feel about flying in a jet plane, so I went out to the airport to see them off.
Hi, I can't wait to get started. Imagine what a thrill this will be. I'm not only flying to Muroc in a jet plane, but the pilot's going to be Captain Chuck Yeager, the first guy to fly fast enough to break through the supersonic wall.
Yeah, I know all that, Bob, but what I want to know is, where did you get that weird flying outfit?
What's the matter with it?
It looks awful baggy in the back.
Well, it's a seat cover from a coupe, and I'm built more like a station wagon, you see. Hey, would you look around for Captain Yeager? Hi, I can't see through these goggles. There's a little fog in my starboard porthole.
Well, here comes someone in Air Force uniform now, Bob.
Hey, buddy. I'm going to take off from that runway in a few minutes. Do you mind moving that Jeep with the big headlights?
That's not a Jeep. It's Bob Hope.
Yeah, well, I paid 2 bits to park here. Hey, wait a minute. Hi, that's Captain Chuck Yeager. There he is.
Hello, Bob. Hello,
Hamlin, West Virginia. Yes, sir. How are you, Chuck? Gee, I can't wait to take off in your jet plane. Boy, that's the way to travel.
Sure is. We'll be in the air in a few minutes. Here, Bob, I brought you a crash helmet.
Oh, thanks. Gee, it fits exactly. Say, how do you like that? The stores told me they didn't have my size.
That's right. They don't make flying helmets to fit a head like yours.
Just read the lines like they are. They don't make flying helmets my size, huh? Then where did you get this one?
Well, I put a chin strap on a cantaloupe skin.
Yeah, I wish I were going on this flight with you guys, even though there is some danger.
Danger?
Oh, it's nothing to worry about, Bob, but under tremendous pressure, some people get molecular colobitis, and they never regain consciousness.
Molecular colobitis? What's that?
Well, your red corpuscles are disintegrated by the white ones, and your blood becomes like milk.
Is it too late to get Elsie the cow? but Chuck, you didn't tell me. What was that? What was that?
Oh, the mechanic's warming up my jet job. We'd better take off now. Come on, Bob.
Well, we don't have to be in such a hurry.
You're not nervous, are you?
Nervous? Who's nervous? My teeth always chatter like this in the morning. Look, Captain, before I get in that plane, I want to know just what happens on these flights.
Well, first of all, I check everything thoroughly, and you know, at those supersonic speeds, if anything happens, it's the end of both of us. What was that?
One half of Bob's goggles just fell off.
You know, as soon as we get in the air, we'll climb up to around 40,000 feet, and your oxygen mask, it better be secure, or the pressure will get you and your lungs will collapse.
There goes the other half.
Of course, we have to be sure there are no leaks in the canopy. If any air gets in when we're going over 700 miles an hour, you'll get smashed like a housefly. What was that?
Bob just joined his goggles. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's what happened this morning at Burbank Airport. Isn't that right, Captain Yeager?
Yeah, that's what happened.
Well, how was the trip up here to Muroc, Captain?
Oh, I had a swell flight, huh? But Bob's over in the base hospital getting oxygen. He had an attack of altitude sickness.
Oh, the trip in the jet was too much for him, huh?
No, Bob didn't fly up with me. But the last minute, he backed out.
Well, then how did he get altitude sickness?
He came up on a Greyhound bus and got a high seat over a wheel.
So, Bob's in the hospital, huh?
Yeah, but don't feel sorry for him. Ava Gardner's over there holding his hand.
Here's a glass of water, Bob.
Thanks, Ava.
And now, go ahead, Bob, and finish your story about the trip down here.
Oh, yes. Where was I?
Well, the plane was in a terrific spin. Captain Yeager had fainted from fright. You had just started a dead motor with a fingernail file, and you were kicking the ice off the wings with your feet while you tapped out a radio message with your nose.
Yes, and what made it even more difficult, Ava, was that somehow or other an eagle had gotten into the plane, and during all this, it was laying eggs in my hair. I was courageous, but messy.
Gee, Bob. You know, I've never heard a story to equal this one for heroism.
To tell the truth, neither have I. But there I was, Ava, going along at 1,700 miles an hour, when all of a sudden...
Wait a minute, Bob. I thought that the fastest anyone had ever flown was around 800 miles an hour. How could you be going 1,700?
Well, there was very little traffic. As a matter of fact... What I mean is,
Look, if what you say is true, Bob, if it's true, how could you land a jet plane without any previous experience?
Oh, I didn't have any trouble, Ava. After Captain Yeager came to, he gave me advice.
Captain Yeager came to?
Uh-huh.
Then why didn't he land the plane himself?
Oh, yeah. Well, the control tower wouldn't let him land on account of Muroc regulations.
Muroc regulations?
Yes, they could see on the radar screen that he wasn't wearing a necktie. But, things at MGM, Ava?
Well, I've been pretty busy. I just finished a Technicolor film called Showboat.
Really? Well, you know, Ava, there's a rumor going around that you're doing everything you can to get me as the leading man in your next picture. It's all over Hollywood.
Oh? You know, I haven't heard about it.
Well, you live in Beverly Hills, and I'm covering that territory. And I'm covering that territory next week. I should wait till the line's finished. But seriously, Ava, why don't you come over to my studio and make a picture?
Oh, it's very nice of you to ask me, Bob. But the studio usually picks someone to play opposite me who is more the reckless, dashing type.
Yes, I know. Do you think it would help any if you told them how I flew a jet plane down here and blacked out at 40,000 feet?
Oh, yeah, that reminds me, Bob. I've got something in my purse that belongs to you. Here.
Oh, gee, these are my flying goggles. Where'd you find them, Ava?
Well, Bob, you see, when you blacked out at 40,000 feet, they fell on my lap. I was sitting in back of you on the Greyhound bus.
Oh,
you buy cigarettes in the USA, you have a treat in store for you. For right next to the tobacco counter, you'll probably see a gaily colored poster of the star of this show, Bob Hope. He's sniffing a pack of Chesterfields and smoking.
And I'm saying, how right. They smell milder, they smoke milder. Yes, the posters are lovely, High, but I wish Crosby would stop trying to improve the artwork.
Well, what's Bing been doing to the posters?
He's been going around nailing signs on them. Wanted, dead or alive.
Well, that's interesting. Is he offering a reward?
Yes, the first person that apprehends me gets Everett. But, High, while I'm still at large, I'd like to sell the folks some Chesterfields. Friends, that poster you'll see when you buy cigarettes is there to remind you that Chesterfield has, for you, proof of mildness with no unpleasant aftertaste. Now, to prove that for yourself, just make this test.
Buy a pack of Chesterfields. Open them. Enjoy that mild, mellow aroma.
That's right. Take a good whiff. Milder, isn't it?
Yes, Chesterfields have a milder aroma, and that means they smoke milder. Smoke them and check that.
And when you finish that milder Chesterfield, notice this because it's important. It leaves no unpleasant aftertaste. So, always buy Chesterfields, the only cigarette that gives you mildness plus no unpleasant aftertaste. Or, to sum it up in a musical capsule...
Chesterfield, always takes first place. That milder, mild tobacco never leaves an aftertaste.
So open a pack, give them a smell.
Then you'll smoke them.
You know, after you light up a Chesterfield and you feel mellow and in a reminiscent mood, just sit back and...
Get out those old records, those old phonograph records, the ones we used to play so long ago.
What if they sound scratchy? The tunes really were catchy, especially those that said, I love you so.
Yeah, I like to put a stack of records down in the evening like this and listen to them. Each one brings back a special memory. And through them all runs the name of Ava. Yes, Ava. The only person in this world I ever loved. Every time my heart beat, it said,
Ava. 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 Sam. Ava.
Sam was her girlfriend. The one who always answered the phone when I called. Ah, what memory.
In the little red schoolhouse with my book and spray. In the little red schoolhouse, I was always late.
Yes, sir, there's a record that takes me back. It reminds me of how I met Ava. I'll never forget the thrill I got when I noticed there was a new girl in the class. She was pretty. She was awful pretty. I'd seen a lot of pretty girls, but she was the prettiest of them all. In fact, she was so pretty, I walked over to her and said, you're pretty. Gee, I'm glad you're in the class. What's your name?
Ava.
Just the sound of her voice made my socks unravel. Because Ava was so beautiful, I might have known trouble was coming. One day at recess, the bully of the school, High Everback, walked up to me and said,
I don't want you carrying Ava's books home anymore, you hear? I'm taking over. From now on, she's my girl.
I don't think you're so tough.
Now? Well, I'll show you. I'll hit you on the end of the nose so hard, you'll feel it within 5 minutes.
Okay, you asked for it. Take that. And that. Maybe I should have waited till he took off his glasses. I won the fight, and right after recess, I said, Ava.
Yes, Robert.
I changed seats with Willie Jones so I'd have the desk right across from you. Isn't it cozy this way?
Yes, Robert, but the other pupils are beginning to notice. You shouldn't be sitting next to me.
She was right. I shouldn't have been sitting at that desk. After all, I was the teacher. Those were wonderful days for Ava and me.
When I take my sugar to tea, all the boys are jealous of me. Cause I never take her where the gang goes when I take my sugar to tea.
Yeah, that tune reminds me of my first date with her. I remember we went to that little gypsy tea room. I was so in love, I brought home the tea bag as a souvenir. And I pressed it in the family album. Guess I shouldn't have done it because the tea colored everything in the album brown. To this day, my Uncle Julius looks like a soggy Indian. Ava looked gorgeous that day. As she came toward me, she looked at me lovingly and said,
"Hello, Robert."
When she said my name, my socks unraveled again. This girl was too beautiful. By now, I had so many holes in my argyles, I had to paint my toes with plaid chemtone.
Oh, Robert, I think this little tea room is just perfect. The candlelight and the wine, the waiters and the bandanas and earrings. Oh, who's this coming over to our table?
Oh, they have a strolling serenader who plays for couples in love. Let's hold hands and listen. Wait a minute, wait a minute. What's that?
What's the matter, Jack? Don't you like gypsy music?
That's gypsy music?
Yeah. I can't make a violin cry, but I can sure make a trombone sweat.
Well, we'll have to admit that it's different. But, you know, we'd like something more in the mood of a tea room.
Yes, do you happen to know Russian lullaby?
Do I? Lay back your ears, Big Daddy. I'll blast it so loud, I'll blow the borscht out from under your boiled potatoes.
On second thought, don't bother. You see, we're sort of in love.
Yes, if you don't mind, we'd much rather be left alone.
In love. Now, ain't that sweet? I'm married, you know. My husband is so cute. He's 3 foot midget.
A midget?
On account of my husband being a midget. He got a wonderful job at the Mule Rock Officers Club.
Oh, really? Well, I've been there. What does your husband do at the Officers Club?
He's economy supervisor.
Uh-huh.
When you tug on the roller towel, did you notice how hard it is to get it out?
Yes, I did.
Yeah. Well, my husband's inside, holding on.
Oh, yes.
Well, I gotta be going.
Goodbye.
Dearie.
Yes?
I ain't no fortune teller, but I can tell you, you chose the right man.
Oh, do you think so?
Yeah. He's got what every woman wants.
Really? What's that?
That beak. What a place to hang wet nylon.
Now, wait.
Sky's only a paper moon, sailing over a cardboard sea. But it wouldn't be make-believe if you believed in me.
Yes, I remember that paper moon. It was in the photographer's gallery where Ava and I had our graduation pictures taken. It was a proud day when those pictures appeared in the high school magazine, except for one thing. The editor of the magazine was cross-eyed. Ava came out the most popular man in the class, and I was chosen the girl who would make the best mother. That night, we met as usual.
Well, I got the pictures from the photographer, Robert. Don't we make a handsome couple?
Yeah, I wish it'd always be that way. Ava.
What?
Will you marry me?
Oh, Robert. I've waited so long for you to ask me that. Come here and kiss me.
That one left me barefooted. I was so happy that night, Ava and I were going to get married and live in a little vine-covered cottage. I had everything figured out. My future was all set. There was only one thing I hadn't reckoned on. Yes, then came the war. I didn't go.
Gee, but I'd give the world to see that old gang of mine. I can't forget that
Oh, yes, sir, that old gang of mine. I didn't see any of them until that day in Denver. There was a convention in town. The hotel I was at was crowded. I was standing in the lobby when she entered. Ava. She was dressed in a white satin gown with a long train. She was wearing a white veil and carrying a huge bouquet of orange blossoms. A group of laughing friends followed her, tossing handfuls of rice. I ran up to her breathlessly and said, "What's new?"
"Why, Robert, I haven't seen you for years. And to think that I'd meet you now when I'm on my honeymoon."
"Honeymoon? Who'd you marry?"
"Hi, Everback."
"Hi, Everback. How I hated him. He was still the crooked cheat he'd always been. He made his success in the fur business selling mink coats. But they weren't real mink coats. He made them by gluing mice onto a shower curtain."
"Oh, Ava, darling, come along."
"Well, I have to go now, Robert."
"Goodbye, Ava." Oh, I stood there and watched the girl of my dreams walk out of my life. There was only one thing that bothered me. Did a spark of our old love still remain in her heart? Or had she been nice to me just because I was in uniform?
"Boy, take these bags up to 987.
"Yes, sir. Coming, sir." For the memory of Edwards Air Force Base, where jet planes fly through space, the men on wing will help to bring peace to the human race. And we thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, you may think that ABC means always by Chesterfield, but confidentially, the AC stands for Army Camps, Air Force Camps, Navy Bases, Marine Camps, where Chesterfields make it possible for us to be these Tuesday nights. Chesterfield picks up the check for these trips, and it's ABC, a big check. But then what's a few thousand dollars to Chesterfield? Just cigarette money. You know... While we're on the subject of money, let's buy Easter seals in Big Lots this year. What a wonderful job those Easter seals do for thousands and thousands of little kids who are crippled. Easter seals look like stamps, and believe me, when you buy Easter seals, you're helping stamp out a lot of pain and suffering and lending a hand to the handicapped. Next Tuesday, we'll be able to be seeing you fellas from another one of Uncle Sam's big camps. Till then, thanks again to Ava Gardner, Connie Haynes, Captain Chuck Yeager, the Woodshedders, and the men of Muroc Air Base, who have the world's biggest job, keeping Uncle Sam's air the way it's kept at your corner service station free. Good night for Chesterfield.